You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
And now a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the darknet, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire. Cisco Duo warns of a third-party MFA-related breach. MGM Resorts sues to stop an FTC breach investigation. Meanwhile, the FTC dings another mental telehealth service provider. Open source foundations call for caution after social engineering attempts. The NSA shares guidance for securing AI systems. Intel broker claims to have hit a U.S. geospatial intelligence firm. The U.K. clamps down on deepfakes. Hard-coded passwords provide the keys to smart lock vulnerabilities. In our Industry Voices segment, Ryan Lockheed, Director of Product Management at OnSpring, discusses the benefits of artificial intelligence in governance, risk, and compliance. And a law firm's misclick ends 21 years of matrimony. It's Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. I'm Dave Bittner, and this is your CyberWire Intel Briefing. Thanks for joining us here today. It's great to have you with us. Cisco Duo alerted customers that an unnamed telephony provider they use for multi-factor authentication services was breached by threat actors. This breach allowed attackers to access SMS logs, but not the content of messages. The breach occurred due to a phishing attack on April 1st of 2024, targeting the provider's employee credentials. The accessed logs contained users' phone numbers, carrier information, and general location data from March 1st through the 31st, potentially affecting thousands of Duo's over 100,000 customers. Cisco warned this data could facilitate broader social engineering campaigns. The provider has since invalidated compromised credentials and is bolstering security measures. Cisco's response includes advising businesses to inform impacted customers and providing the obtained message logs upon request, highlighting the risk of further social engineering attacks. MGM Resorts International is suing the U.S. Federal Trade Commission to stop an investigation into data security breaches following a major hack. Filed in Washington federal court, MGM argues it's not subject to FTC consumer financial data rules as it's not a financial institution. Additionally, MGM contends FTC Commissioner Lina Khan should recuse herself due to personal involvement, as she was staying at an MGM hotel during the hack. The FTC has not commented on the lawsuit. The September hack caused MGM significant financial damage, leading to tens of millions of dollars in losses and 15 consumer class action lawsuits against the company. Speaking of the FTC, they have proposed a settlement with mental telehealth service Cerebral Incorporated and its former CEO, mandating a $7 million penalty for unlawfully sharing sensitive health data with third-party advertisers without patient consent. This action addresses violations of the FTC Act and the Opioid Act, focusing on deceptive practices and unfulfilled cancellation promises. The settlement includes a $5.1 million partial refund for consumers misled by Cerebral's cancellation policies. The order, pending U.S. District Court approval, aims to limit Cerebral's handling of consumer data and enhance privacy protections, requiring consent for data sharing and the implementation of a comprehensive privacy program. This follows a reported data breach affecting 3.2 million individuals and Cerebral's improper use of tracking tools sharing patient information with platforms like Facebook, Google, and TikTok. The FTC's move is part of a broader enforcement against health data privacy violations, reflecting increased scrutiny on telehealth and data brokerage practices regarding consumer information security. The Open Source Security and OpenJS Foundations have issued a warning to open source maintainers about social engineering attacks aiming for project takeovers following suspicious activities mirroring the XZUtils hack. The OpenJS Foundation observed dubious emails seeking urgent updates for a JavaScript project under the guise of fixing vulnerabilities, with the senders pushing to be made new maintainers. These attempts resemble the tactics of Jia Tan, linked to the XZUtils backdoor incident. OpenJS detected similar schemes targeting two other projects, which were reported to the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. The foundations advocate for increased awareness and caution, outlining signs of suspicious behavior such as aggressive requests for maintainer status by unknown individuals and attempts to introduce unreadable or obfuscated code. The situation underscores the significant risk social engineering poses to the open source ecosystem, highlighting the vulnerability of underfunded projects and the potential difficulty in distinguishing genuine contributions from malicious intents. The NSA, in collaboration with multiple national and international cybersecurity organizations, has released a cybersecurity information sheet to guide organizations in securing AI systems. This inaugural guidance from the NSA's Artificial Intelligence Security Center emphasizes best practices for deploying secure and resilient AI systems, particularly for national security system owners and defense industrial-based companies. The document highlights the importance of adapting security measures to specific use cases and threat profiles, aligning with the cybersecurity performance goals by CISA and NIST. It covers comprehensive strategies for AI system deployment, including robust governance, secure configurations, privacy considerations, and zero-trust frameworks. Additionally, it stresses the ongoing necessity of identifying risks, implementing mitigations, and monitoring for security issues to protect intellectual property, models, and data from theft or misuse. The notorious hacker Intel Broker claims to have penetrated the cyber infrastructure of SpaceEyes, a Miami-based firm providing geospatial intelligence to U.S. government agencies. This breach potentially exposes highly confidential documents related to U.S. national security about individuals and vessels under U.S. sanctions. The exposed data, detailed by hackread.com, includes full names, phone numbers, company details, job descriptions, over 26,000 email addresses, some password hashes, and complete location data. The leak also includes public data from the U.S. Treasury website, listing sanctioned cybercrime groups and individuals. This incident follows a similar breach by Intel Broker targeting Acuity, a U.S. federal contractor, which was initially dismissed by Acuity and the U.S. government until further data implicating the Five Eyes was released. CISA has been notified, but SpaceEyes has yet to comment on the authenticity of the breach. Creating sexually explicit deepfake images without consent could become a criminal offense in England and Wales, punishable by an unlimited fine and potential jail time, even if the creator did not intend to share the image. This new law, to be introduced as an amendment to the Criminal Justice Bill, aims to tackle the invasive use of AI to alter images or videos, particularly of celebrities or public figures, into pornographic content. The legislation, however, has been critiqued for potentially having loopholes, as it requires proving the creator's intent to cause distress. The move, bolstered by the Online Safety Act, which already made sharing deepfakes illegal, has been welcomed by victims and advocates as a significant step toward enhancing protections, especially for women, against this form of digital abuse and exploitation. A severe security vulnerability has been identified in the software that controls certain smart locks, specifically those managed by Chirp Systems. This critical flaw allows for the possibility that individuals without authorization can remotely unlock these smart locks, posing a significant risk to the safety and security of over 50,000 households reported to be using Chirp's system. The root of this vulnerability lies in Chirp's Android application, where passwords and private keys are hard-coded. Through an API, attackers are capable of not just identifying, but also controlling the smart locks that are affected. The flaw was discovered 3 years ago by Matt Brown, a senior engineer at Amazon Web Services, who took an interest in the security of Chirp's Android app when his apartment building adopted these smart locks. Compounding the issue, Chirp Systems, based in Texas, was acquired by real estate technology firm RealPage in 2020, which in turn was bought by private equity firm Thoma Bravo. This change in ownership raises questions about the company's accountability and commitment to resolving these sorts of critical security issues. The disclosure of this vulnerability serves as a stark reminder of the potential risks associated with smart home technologies. For users of Chirp-enabled smart locks, additional precautions such as the use of traditional mechanical locks are advisable until a definitive fix is confirmed. Coming up after the break, my conversation with Ryan Lockheed, Director of Product Management at OnSpring, about the benefits of artificial intelligence in governance, risk, and compliance. Stay with us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire. Ryan Lockheed is Director of Product Management at OnSpring, and in this sponsored Industry Voices segment, we discuss the benefits of artificial intelligence in governance, risk, and compliance.
Governance, risk, and compliance, you know, really kind of covers your regulatory concerns. You know, if you're a business that has a lot of regulatory concerns, the compliance to in which you hold yourself as a company, and then, you know, the risk processes from your company, right? So that will entail a risk register, risk assessment of your business processes inside of your environment.
And so traditionally, how have organizations come at this particular challenge?
As a kind of an overview in the GRC space, I mean, first starts, of course, you know, where all first started was really in that kind of Microsoft Excel and SharePoint land, where you're able to see your documents in kind of the SharePoint space and, you know, collaborate in Excel a little bit for like evidence gathering and tasks to complete. And then it's, you know, really involved. I mean, today it's generally done inside of a GRC platform or specific tool for governance, risk, and compliance or business process automation.
Well, and of course, I think so many people's imagination has been captured by this kind of revolution that we've had in AI, certainly in people's awareness of it. How has AI been applied to the GRC space?
Yeah, I mean, as far as AI in the GRC space, it's really young right now, right? Of course, the consumer market moves much quicker than the enterprise market. And right now, when you look at what GRC and AI do, it's really on that surface level of asking these LLMs about crafting policies or what this regulatory change happened. What's the difference between this clause prior and then this clause now?
Yeah, I know you and your colleagues sometimes refer to kind of a crawl, walk, or run approach to AI. Can we kind of go through that together and explain to us, you know, how an organization would approach each of those?
Yeah, I mean, crawl, walk, run's a good analogy that, you know, it's really steps of maturity, you know, however you want to call it, right? But that first step or really the crawling there is really kind of establishing AI in a general purpose manner. So if we envision these steps of maturity that you're using a GRC tool that doesn't have any native AI capabilities, right? So looking at it from a crawl or a first step, you know, like really that's that general purpose that we're at right now, right? So that's an embedding maybe ChatGPT, Gemini, Copilot, right? Claude, all throughout, you know, potentially in an app frame or just, you know, kind of right next to you in that sense. And then you're just, you know, using some of those LLM benefits, right? You know, create me a policy. You know, can you analyze this, you know, analyze that type situation? And really that's a, you know, kind of a low risk, low reward piece to your GRC program as a whole. You know, you will gain some efficiencies there, but like the ceiling is really low, right? So like you're going to bump against that productivity ceiling pretty quickly if you're just looking to use an LLM to create some policies or analyze controls or regulatory changes.
And I guess the structure of that, you know, sort of running these things side by side means that it by necessity flows through a human, which I suppose could be beneficial for, you know, keeping an eye on things as well.
Right. Yeah. Yep. It's, you know, part of those safe practices and always having a human in the loop. And GRC is really a program where a human is always in the loop, right? So...
Well, so once we're past that notion of crawling, what does walking entail?
Yeah, walking entails really kind of combining data retrieval with an LLM, right? So in data retrieval, meaning either live data from websites like stock markets or weather or, you know, things like that you can go out and access, but also combining that data retrieval in with your internal tools, right? So when you think about going out to CRMs or your HR sources or, you know, any of those tools that you have internally. And when you are interacting with the LLM, you're really, you know, kind of also prompting it to go out and grab those sources you know, and analyze that together with your statement, right? So adding more context to what you're asking. You know, examples there, you know, of course, is the trending, predictive analytics, things like that, you know, alongside of GRC. So, you know, when you're looking at risk assessments and you want to trend that out, or you're just able to go ahead and ask, you know, for financials or anything like that, that you could potentially use in your evaluation and then have a better context response back.
Well, I mean, let's continue down the path here. Then ultimately, what does running look like?
Running is really, you know, now you're in this mode of fine tuning, right? So you have the ability to fine tune your LLM inside with, you know, baking in knowledge, which is potentially better than, you know, augmenting with data retrieval. You probably want to do both, right? So, you know, having that data retrieval element plus fine tuning is going to give you a lot of powerful results. And that, you know, really kind of getting to you to a point where you are asking your models for with high level information and getting back incredibly detailed information based on you, right? In your context versus a general everybody context.
And I guess, again, as you alluded to, I mean, there throughout all of this, there needs to still be reality checks along the way.
Yeah, of course, right? So, and that's using, you know, of course, those safety AI practices, right? Where we're using that human-centric, you know, kind of approach. You're, you know, making sure, you know, with, you know, especially with fine-tuning and learning, that you're examining that raw data to make sure that it's applicable, right? You're understanding the limitations of your data sets and your modeling, and you're just testing, right? And then, of course, continuing to monitor. And I think everybody in this space, right, we don't just roll things out. You know, it always has to be tested, you know, from data security to GRC tools to really anything that you do cyber-related. You always have to continue to monitor and update and test.
Are there any common elements that you see for the people who are having success here? What do they have in common with each other?
Yeah, I mean, I think the commonality of success here is that context, right? So, being able to augment that, you know, the larger models with your specific data, and then you know that you have more of, you know, you're cutting down on the hallucinations and you're cutting down on some of the false positives or the things that the LLM is giving you back. That's really where that success is coming from.
You know, I think a lot of folks are hesitant here with AI because they see the usefulness of it and they see the potential for great time savings and efficiency and all of those good things. But, you know, every now and then we'll see some sort of story where when AI gets something wrong, it can get it catastrophically wrong, right? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And so how are organizations approaching that to hit some kind of balance between those potential benefits, but also, you know, avoiding that catastrophe?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that this is easy, right? I mean, it's very, very, very challenging to look at, you know, the data in your models and making sure that you're trying to avoid things like that. So, you know, as a, you know, kind of a recommendation is that, you know, not necessarily using those general models, you know, in having an enterprise version or open source yourself and having AI engineers and practicing those safe, you know, AI practices, right? Or those responsible AI practices is really going to cut down on that, right? You're never likely going to have a zero incidents because artificial intelligence. It's more mitigating, you know, everywhere along the way and continue to monitor and update your system and making sure that, hey, you know, if there is a catastrophe, right, that it's, you know, only to us and not necessarily a large catastrophe. It's just kind of maybe a small burning fire that we have to put out.
Right. Where do you suppose we're headed here as we look, you know, towards the future? What do we aspire for these tools to be able to do?
Yeah, I mean, the future, right, is wild. You know, when you think about, you know, like all of the capabilities and like, you know, everything that AI can do. I mean, we're really, really looking for, you know, especially in the governance, risk, and compliance space, and this branches out as well, But having multiple LLMs in your environment that are vertical specific, right? So training a model for compliance, training a model for risk, training a model for vendor management, or, you know, when you think about outside, it's, you know, health and finance and all those things. But having multiple models that are specifically vertical focused, that are sharing information between each other and pulling, you know, sharing that information, and you getting the best context back you can from the model you ask based on your specific, you know, business process.
What are your recommendations for folks who are curious about this, who are, you know, looking to get started? Any words of wisdom?
Looking to get started is, it's, you know, just a lot of, you know, a lot of research and putting your head down. I think a lot of the bigger companies, right? Microsoft's, the Google's, ChatGPT or OpenAI, right? Anthropic, they all have a lot of good documentation on why AI, first of all, right? Your responsibilities, fairness, privacy, security. They go through a lot of those things, you know, on each of their sites, on each of their models, right? So definitely a good place to start. But, you know, when you start cracking that stuff open and getting in a little bit deeper, you know, it's a lot of hands-on experience and just learning the ins and outs of those things, right?
That's Ryan Lockheed, Director of Product Management at OnSpring. And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. And finally, in a digital age where a misclick can lead to purchasing a lifetime supply of toilet paper or inadvertently liking your ex's vacation photos from 2014, a Mr. and Mrs. Williams from the UK found themselves unwittingly at the forefront of an even more monumental digital faux pas. Imagine their surprise when, due to a clerical blunder at their law firm, they were divorced without their consent. The scene unfolds at Vardag's, a law firm known for serving the needs of the rich and famous. One fateful day, a staffer ventured into the online divorce portal, and with the wrong file open, a click intended to sever the marital ties of one couple inadvertently sliced through the bonds of Mr. and Mrs. Williams, a pair blissfully unaware of their participation in this electronic lottery of love. 3 days later, Vardag's realized the error and sought to undo this unwanted ununion, appealing to the wisdom of Judge Sir Andrew McFarlane. But the judge decided the digital deed was done. What's done in the cloud stays in the cloud, and the divorce stood. The tale serves as a cautionary fable for the digital era, a world where a single click can alter lives, where matrimonial ties are as vulnerable to termination as an unsaved document in a power outage. For Mr. and Mrs. Williams, their unintended digital divorce becomes a story for the ages, a reminder to double-check before you double-click, lest you find your I do turned into I did by the impersonal stroke of a key. And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. We'd love to know what you think of this podcast. You can email us at cyberwire@n2k.com. N2K Strategic Workforce Intelligence optimizes the value of your biggest investment, your people. We make you smarter about your team while making your team smarter. Learn more at n2k.com. This episode was produced by Liz Stokes. Our mixer is Trey Hester, with original music by Elliot Peltzman. Our executive producers are Jennifer Iben and Brandon Karp. Our executive editor is Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow. And now, a word from our sponsor, SixthSense. SixthSense provides award-winning cloud-based automated endpoint and vulnerability management solutions to streamline IT and security operations. With its advanced platform, businesses gain complete visibility and control over their infrastructure, reducing IT and security risks and optimizing operational efficiency. With SixthSense, you'll get real-time alerts, risk-based vulnerability prioritization and remediations, and an intuitive automation and orchestration engine so you can focus on your core business goals, confident in the knowledge that your enterprise is secure, compliant, and running smoothly. To learn why enterprises choose SixthSense, visit SixthSense.com.